Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we're living in some volatile times and we know that the world is changing. So let's build a bridge as we travel through one another's countries, removing all the labels, coming together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today, take advantage of your disadvantage, is so important. So please settle in as we jump right in. I'm excited to welcome my guest speaker today, Alexandra DiGesaro. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me here. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm so excited to have you as a guest today. I love everything you're about to share with the audience. So I wanted to share a little bit about you. You are a fashion photographer, a writer, an entrepreneur that is based in Milan, Italy. It sounds gorgeous. You've graduated law, but then you understood that it wasn't your true calling. So you decided to pursue an artistic career, and now you help other artists do the same, turning their passion into a full-time job and making a living creating art. And your photography has won numerous competitions, but also have been published in international magazines. And you love taking pictures during the Milan Fashion Week. And in your free time, you love reading and traveling and just furthering yourself for the better. I love all of this. I think this is so exciting. There's just so much that we could talk about around this. But share with me a little bit about your journey. How did you get to this place that you're at today?
So I originally come from Poland. And back in Poland, as you mentioned, I graduated law. And right after the graduation, I moved to Italy to join my then fiancé and now my husband. And I realized that the job market in Italy was completely different than the one in Poland. And I've been really, really struggling to find a job. I was getting more and more depressed and frustrated, spending everyday hours on LinkedIn and other websites, sending job applications that remained unanswered. And, you know, it was really frustrating because I have 3 degrees, I speak 5 languages, and for example, I didn't even get an interview for the position of a secretary. And I was feeling so, so bad. And at some point, I just decided, you know what, there's something just not working here. And I'm putting so much effort into getting a job that I will most probably hate. And I'm additionally not getting any results. So how about just trying something that I love doing and seeing how it goes, because it can't go any worse than it already is. And that's how I decided and I started my career as a fashion photographer.
Wow. So when I hear you speak 5 languages, I think that's incredible. Was that hard to do?
Well, I started really when I was a kid, and so it was like gradually just adding other languages. Some of them are similar, like Spanish and Italian, so it wasn't that hard.
I understand. So when you were in law and you knew that something wasn't right, like what, how did that feel for you? Like what made it feel like it wasn't right?
Well, I've always felt back at school and back at university, like that I was wasting time. I constantly had this feeling that I'm there in classes or later studying for exams. And, you know, in the evening when I was finishing to do everything I had to do for university, I was thinking, okay, and now I should really start doing the work that matters. So it was a constant feeling that I'm doing something that just, it's just not it.
Yeah. And then you said you went into this place of just you feeling very unsettled and you had this depression. So how did you take that depression and turn it inside out to make it into a career?
I just felt like I've been dreaming about a different life for a long time, but I didn't know anybody around me to have this kind of lifestyle that now I have. So I wasn't considering it really possible. But then I arrived to a point where I just couldn't see any way out. My job possibilities and perspectives in Italy, like, really, really seemed bad and, like, discouraging. I thought, okay, maybe the only thing I would manage was to enter some internship and work on that internship, being underpaid, super underpaid for 6 months or a year, and then maybe they will hire me on the minimal payment. But it's not even sure, because they can just tell me goodbye and I would have to restart with another internship. So just this perspective was so bad that I just go, okay, I have nothing to lose, actually. And it seems that the things that everybody else is telling me to do, these things just don't work. So now I decided, okay, I give myself 2 years of time, because I was 26 at the time, and I thought, okay, I'm still young, I can do it. I gave myself 2 years of time to start seeing results, and I said, okay, if I don't get any results, then I come back and I will get any job I possibly can, even one that I really hate. But now I will not give up that easily.
So you had a goal and you just went for it. No matter what, you just went for it, which is amazing. And the thing that's really intriguing about you is that you decided to just leave a country and go relocate to another country.
Well, it wasn't easy. And actually, I never, ever wanted to leave my country. The fact was that with my then boyfriend, now my husband, we've been discussing for a lot of time. We've been actually together on a distance for over 4 years, and I was just totally tired of it. And when I graduated my law school, he just started specialization here as a doctor, and I knew that if he would come to Poland, he wouldn't do it, because the language difference was way too difficult. And I, you know, having another perspective of another 4.5 years on a distance was just too hard. So I said, okay, for the moment I go to Italy, and later we see how we proceed. But it was just too hard. So I broke my main rule, meaning I'm not going anywhere, and I'm just here.
That's what love does, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's nice to hear that, you know, you got married and you established this new life, and it's just really nice to hear. And I'm sure the move to Italy was hard to do, because you were in a different country and just trying to get acclimated and settled in. I'm sure that was difficult. So how do you adjust with all this uncertainty and navigating 2 years of not really knowing whether or not this was going to work? How did you create a mindset to make it happen?
Actually, I started seeing results after a month. I gave myself 2 years. I saw results after a month. So it was pretty encouraging. I think the mindset that I already had at the time came from all the books I was reading, because it all started when I was 20 and I read the book of Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and it was really a game changer for me, because I saw, wow, there's a different world, there's a different life. There's, like, it opened my eyes for so many things. Since that time, I started reading, listening to podcasts, following masterclasses. So it was all, I was accumulating it, so that when I arrived to that point that I decided, okay, that's enough, I try to do my own thing, it wasn't so, don't know, it wasn't such a huge change for me. Also, something that I noticed comes quite naturally to me, and I see it's not like that for everybody, is that I continuously keep searching. I just don't settle down. And even if something is going good, I'm like, okay, let's try this new thing. Let's try that other thing. Let's try that. Let's see how it goes. It's, I found a new group. Let's try on Facebook. Or I found this new opportunity. I have no idea what this is. I can try it out. Later, for many of them, I say, no, it's not for me, or it doesn't work, or I don't have time for it. But this fact that I'm continuously searching, I noticed that it helped me immensely to develop and get the life that I wanted.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I hear so many people talk about their secret to success, and it really is around being tenacious and just really being focused and putting everything you have into what it is that you're creating. So share with the audience and myself a little bit about what your true calling is. What is it that you do now?
I started as a photographer, and it was something that I loved doing. Just I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I was loving what I do, but I didn't feel I'm contributing enough. I'm doing enough for others. And a few months ago, I realized how to fill this gap and how to make it work for me, which is helping artists to turn their creative passion into a full-time job. Because I'm sharing my experiences, I'm sharing how I did it, and I realized that what I did is not so common, and I know so many people who never even try. They are amazing, they are creative, but they never even try because they think it's risky and it's not safe. You don't get enough money. You know, I have a friend who loves cooking, and she would love to be a cook, but instead she's studying to be a judge, exactly because of that reason, that she says it's not safe and it's too risky. And I just give up directly, and I understand what I'm going for, but I prefer to do it this way. And so I was blown away by situations like this. I saw so many people who are never even trying. I also read somewhere that 75% of people have the jobs that they hate. Some sources even say up to 85% of people hate their jobs. And this number was just blowing my mind. It was like, oh my God, how is that even possible? And so I know that many of those people who do those jobs they hate would love to have a creative job. They just have no idea how to start, what to do, and how to make money from their art. And I strongly believe that if more people would do what they love, the world would be a better and a happier place. And that's why I'm sharing and I'm teaching and trying to help as many artists as I can.
I love that. And I couldn't agree more. There's so many people that aren't doing what it is that they love. And I find during this period of time where people are caught, you know, really caused to take a, you know, pause in the way the world is right now, there's a lot of introspection that's happening with individuals. And a lot of people, I think, are really evaluating, especially if they've lost jobs, whether or not they continue down that same journey that they were traveling, or if they should try to redirect where they're going and maybe create something new. I think we're going to see a lot of creativity unfold, especially, you know, as the world is opening up in a different way. So I love your message about just taking your disadvantage that you had and turning it into your advantage. You know, just, I mean, it's just so powerful. So I have one last question for you. If I were to find your Earth Angel feather on the ground and I were to pick it up, what would your message to the world be?
My message definitely would be start right away, whatever you want to do, start right away. And be active, keep searching. If something doesn't work out, just adjust, retry other things, and focus on what you already have and what you already can give to others. Don't focus on what you miss, because you will never ever feel ready. Just use what you already have. Think of ways how you can use what in theory can be your disadvantage to your advantage. And like, for example, I'm a young female, and it's a disadvantage for if you look from the perspective of traditional photographer, but I found that this is my advantage, for example, working with fashion bloggers who are mostly girls my age, and they just feel better having me around. They're just more comfortable. So just start, trust your intuition. It works much better than you think, than you expect. And just keep searching, keep doing using what you already have, and it will work out definitely.
What an inspiration. Thank you so much, Alexandra. I mean, it's so inspiring to hear your story. I mean, just traveling country to country and starting something new. I mean, it's just so inspirational. So thank you so much for being with us today. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And if the audience would like to connect with you afterwards, they can reach you at creativeartist.online. And that will then take the audience to all of your social media. Is that correct?
Yes, it's my website. So there you can find all the information about me. You can contact me. There are links to my social media. You can see my blog, my free audio training. So this is the best way to contact me. There's also a live chat. So if you want to leave me a message, just write me and I answer as soon as I can. And I really love getting messages.
Yay. Well, thank you so much. Greatly appreciated. And that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels reminding you to live an authentic life. And as always, we treat you peace. There are a select few who will touch your life in the most meaningful way. After meeting them, their souls will leave an imprint in your heart, and from then on, you will never be the same again. These are the people you call your earth angels. This is a quote that is from Ruby Ann, and it sits in a frame on my desk. I look at it every single day, and it was given to me by one of my dearest friends. And the reason that I bring this up to you is because I wonder how you feel about the people in your life. Are they people that are earth angels to you? I love that there's certain people that touch us in such a way that it does change us forever. And the meaning that they bring to our lives and the impact that they give. I know that we are going through some really turbulent times around the globe. I know things are very unsettled. And when I started Retreat to Peace, it literally was a God calling. It literally was to bring light into the darkness. It literally was to bring the goodness and rise it to the surface to battle against the darkness, the evil that we're experiencing in the world. And as I put my request out, it was amazing to me the amount of people that came towards me that literally were walking in the light and have so much good to offer the world. I started Retreat to Peace with one of my first speakers, Candace Winters. And she came with such vibrant energy and is such a phenomenal person. And just being with her to do this interview was really touching in such a way that she left her imprint within me. She is one of these souls that touched my heart and literally left an imprint that it was just, there's so much kindness, so much love and gratitude, and just so much to offer the world. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to replay my interview that is so poignant for where we are. And this is the first interview that I did with Candace, but nonetheless, it's just so important today as it was when it first aired last year. So without further ado, grow through what you go through. Hey you, wherever you are in the world right now, thank you so much for being here with me. We know that we live in some volatile times and we know that the world is changing. So let's create a bridge as we travel through one another's countries, removing all the labels, coming together as one people, finding our home in one world. And as we do this, this is why our signature talk today, grow through what you go through, with self-care is so important. And today I'm excited to welcome my guest, Candace Winter. Hi, Candace.
Hi, thank you so much for having me with you today.
I'm very excited to have you with us today. And for our listeners, just settle in as we jump in and have this conversation with Candace. Candace is a dear friend of mine. She is in Ireland and I am here in the United States. Candace, tell us a little bit about yourself for the audience and people that don't know you like I do.
Okay, well, as Catherine kindly said, my name is Candace Winter. I am a complementary therapist and I've been specializing working with people with cancer for the last 7 years of my life, obviously being a complementary therapist for a lot longer. And I'm now turning my attention to working with people who have arthritis, specifically an autoimmune arthritis such as rheumatoid arthritis and such like that, because I was personally affected by myself many years ago, and it completely impacted my life and how I felt as a person. It took away my confidence, it took away my abilities. And thankfully, I was able to find my way through it. And now I want to share what I know with others to help them, because your world is shattered when you find out that you have that diagnosis. And it takes a lot to get yourself back on board again. So this is my mission at the moment. And I just can't wait to share it with everyone and to let everyone know that there's still a life to be had and you can literally still achieve whatever you want despite having this diagnosis. So how I've done that is I was diagnosed 9 years ago. 5 years ago, I joined Taekwondo and I became a black belt. I've been British champion. I feel no pain anymore. I've got my confidence back. I've adapted my lifestyle to be able to manage it, live with it, but still enjoy my life. And yeah, there's just, it's so easy to live a life that is full and exciting, and it didn't end my life. So that is what I want to share and to give people hope. I just want to give people hope.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that with me and the audience. And the interesting thing about what you do right now is working with cancer patients, as you said. And right now we live in a world where everything is upside down and we have a global pandemic that's occurring And across the world, everybody's feeling the effects of that in different ways. Share a little bit about your experience and what you're seeing with cancer patients.
Well, basically, whenever I work with my patients, it's funny how cancer is actually the last thing that we deal with. My function as a complementary therapy is to help with mobility, help with pain, help with anxiety, insomnia, depression, all of that. And that is what comes up time and time again. It's not dealing with the actual cancer itself. It's like life within the cancer and how your life has been impacted by cancer. So my role in their lives is to teach them how to deal with anxiety, depression, self-care, managing their insomnia, finding ways to sleep, finding ways to be present and not be lost in the past that causes depression, nor to be caught up in the future, which brings on anxiety. You can't control either. You have to be in the moment where you are right now, because that is the only thing you can control. And that is my role, is to teach them how to do that. And whenever I meet my clients, they come to me with gray clouds over them. And when they leave me, all I see is rainbows. You know, it's so lovely to see how they can liberate their lives, adapt their lives. And the cancer is, they realize it's just something that, it's a, not a gift. I don't want to say it's a gift, because it's not, it's harsh, and it's, but it teaches them so much about their lives and what they need to change. So they learn from it. And from being in that position where they have grown from their experience with cancer, they then see that they can change the rest of their lives. You know, it's not out there to control them. It's out there to teach them and help them.
Yeah. And I think that's a difficult message for people to hear often. Mm-hmm. When there's something that happens to them that is really, really hard, and they have so much uncertainty around it. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to navigate the waters to go through it. And I think that's very difficult to hear, that this experience is to teach you something and to grow from.
That's, I think, with every experience, you know, it's, I feel terrible saying it, because nobody wants to go through it. Nobody wants the pain of any experience, whether that's abuse, a death, an illness. Nobody wants it in their lives. And it's not nice to go through. But it's only when we go through it that we do learn from it. And we grow as a person because of it. If life was all just rainbows and clouds, then we would never learn. We would never grow as people. We would never learn about our capabilities and what we're able to do, you know. So, yeah, I definitely feel strongly, and I don't mean to offend anyone when I say that, but it is such a truth, and nobody escapes trauma in their lives. We all may experience different trauma, but it's learning how to overcome that trauma.
Yeah, and I think right now, as the world is experiencing a kind of trauma, the thing that people don't connect with is that the trauma itself is actually being stored in their bodies. And it's really, really important that they learn to find ways to get that trauma out of their bodies. One of the things that I've talked to in the past around trauma is that trauma, it's really interesting, because trauma is something that when we have something really bad happen to us, we know exactly where we were. We know exactly who we were with, what the experience was that we were in when we heard, you know, a message about something that's happened. And we just hold on to this, and this stays with us, and it shows up in different ways. So like, we could have an experience and it will bring us a flashback to that moment where we experienced the trauma, because it's held in the body. But there's also a lot of feelings that go with some of that trauma. So when we're in the experience of it, we could have feelings of anger. We could have feelings of despair. Maybe some people will have unpredictable emotions, or they'll have physical experiences like a headache or maybe feel nauseous. Some people may even feel a sense of hopelessness and feel some levels of isolation in regards to how they're navigating the world. And I think, you know, in the way that we're living right now, it's really interesting how many people are living in a state of fear because they don't know what is happening in the future. So it's bringing on a lot of anxiety. But there's also a lot of grief that the world is experiencing. And depending if you look at 5 stages of grief or 7-8 stages of grief, there is some level of grief that people are experiencing during this time. So I think, you know, not just with cancer patients, but it's with all patients that have any kind of chronic illness. It's even with people that don't have chronic illness. Everybody's experiencing something during this time. So when we talk to the title, Grow Through What You Go Through and Do It With Self-Care, really, it's so important to recognize the psychological trauma, recognize the grief that people are experiencing, but also having some tools to create balance in what your self-care looks like. So some of the things that people can do to balance that out, like what do you see that works with your patients or maybe has worked for some, you know, people in your life? Like, what are some of the self-care tools that you have?
Well, again, I'm going to talk from personal experience where you said that psychological trauma can have an effect on the body. I do feel that my arthritis came about because of the emotions that I bottled, storing onto things that I've held onto for years and not even knowing that I'm doing it. That's the thing. You know, if I actually knew that, you know, holding onto those emotions and those memories and those traumas would end up having an effect on my body, yes, I would have done something about it. But I wish I knew now, I wish I knew then what I know now, but I didn't. I was young and I didn't know that. So self-care is very much a huge part of dealing with any trauma, just a daily practice really, because you don't know when those emotions are going to flood in. You don't know when that trauma is going to come back with your flashbacks that you spoke about. So if you can take care of yourself every day, you can always be prepared for what may come. And that is what self-care is. It's purely preparing yourself at the beginning of each day for what may come in. And when you're in control of your day, you're in control of your emotions. It's not going to stop it from coming, but it's going to stop it from impacting you as severely as it could. So when I deal with my patients, this is what I'm trying to put over to them, is that if you always start your day on the right note, no matter how you're feeling, it can always improve your mood, improve your resilience. That is what self-care is. It's resilience to the life around us. So that is what I teach. Self-care is mainly what I teach. Obviously, you know, doing the complementary therapies of actually easing their ailments emotionally and physically. But so, for instance, as I said, starting off beginning of the day, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning and what I tell my clients to do is doing a gratitude journal. That to me is the thing that has totally changed my life, and I can see it that it's done for my patients as well. So if you're able to write down just 5 things, first thing when you wake up in the morning, don't look at your social media. Don't read emails. Don't respond to text messages. Do not do anything like that. Leave your phone alone for half an hour, but wake up half an hour earlier so that you have that time to yourself, not for your family, not for anybody else. You need to be totally selfish with that time. And writing in my journal, reading texts about whatever your needs may be, your body will tell you what you need. Your mind will tell you what you need. And personally, what I do is I just go into YouTube and I look up motivational videos, and it may be for happiness, it may be for stress, it may be for anxiety, insomnia, whatever it may be. And YouTube is brilliant. So it all just comes up and you can choose how long you want to listen to that video for, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever time you have. And that to me, when I don't do that every morning, my day is just on a landslide. If I start a day when I haven't got time, everything gets on top of me. My kids' stuff, my work stuff, my husband's issues, it all just snowballs. Whereas when I do it, I notice such a big difference of me just being able to tick my boxes and being able to prioritize and just being in complete control as opposed to my emotions and life being in control of me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that idea of journaling because it's getting it out of the body. So rather than holding on to it in the body, the trauma, you're removing it and getting the stress out onto paper. And you can choose to hold on to it or you can choose to crumple it up and throw it away. I've done that many times.
That is exactly it. And our brain is designed to alert us to danger. You know, so the first thing we're going to think about is always the negative side of it. We're never going to think of the positive side of things. And that's purely to protect ourselves from life hurting us. When you journal or when you are releasing those fears, those anxieties, you're getting it out of your system, which is helping you physically, emotionally, mentally, mind, body, and spirit. It's impacting all of those things when you are able just to write them down. And it's such a simple act with such a profound effect.
Yeah. And one of the things that I always share too is a good technique is make sure that you're drinking a lot of water so that you can flush the toxins out of the body. Make sure you're eating good food, listening to things that, like you said, will make you happy. You know, just surround yourself in such a state that it is going to generate positivity towards you. And I love this idea of just getting up early because just having some of that time to yourself, it really does impact how you can springboard your day. It's really great stuff. But aside of that, what are some other ideas that you may share with the audience in regards to just some self-care techniques that they can do? Maybe they're having trouble sleeping. Maybe they're in a loop as far as what their thoughts are and things like that. Like, what are your ideas for that?
Simply two things, moving and breathing. Okay. Breathing again is profound in that again, when you're stressed, your mind is purely focused on danger. So automatically you have that adrenaline rush where your heart is beating faster, your breath is shallow and quick, your pulse is racing, you may have sweaty palms. You are in a state of stress and your body is reacting accordingly. When you decide to take slow, deep breaths, you confuse your brain into thinking that you're calm. So automatically your brain then goes into a sequence of events where it is physically going to make sure that you relax. So the simple act of maybe taking six long, slow breaths is going to help you so much. It's just a case of slowly breathing in for four counts, holding it in for four counts, slowly breathing it out for four counts, and then holding it for four counts. And just doing that six times. Maybe you find something that will remind you to breathe every time you look at your watch, every time you switch on the television or boil the kettle. Just if you do that intermittently throughout the day, you will find that you're in control of your emotions and your stress levels. And then motion, walking, movement affects your emotions. So if you find that you're in a bit of a depressed state, just get your body moving. Whether it's dancing in your living room, whether it's going outside for a walk in nature, whether it's jumping on the spot or going for a sprint, do something and I guarantee you, your mood will improve.
My grandmother used to say all the time, count to 10. And I used to, as a little girl, I used to think, why are you always telling me to count to 10? And then I'd realize, you know, as an adult, it was probably because I was going through something and just needed to breathe.
Again, on a science kind of level, it's taking control. You know, we all have the monkey in us that just wants to react. So whether that's with anger or emotion or sadness, when you count to 10, you're being the adult and thinking, right, I need to consciously be aware of how I'm going to react. And then you take control as opposed to purely reacting with your reflexes. So your grandmother was very wise.
I know. Isn't it amazing? As you get older, you start to understand how wise they are.
Yeah.
But excuse me. I love that method of the breathing technique because it is so powerful and it does recenter you. I also just wanted to touch a little bit right now in the way of the world. Suicides are increasing around the globe. I know here in the U.S., we're about 30% or higher at the time of this recording, which is pretty astounding. And I was looking at an article this morning that did highlight, you know, the uptick in suicides around the world. And I just wanted to talk on that topic a little bit because I think it's important to recognize that this is something that's happening and also something that, you know, with suicides increasing around the world, some ways that maybe we can help do some preventative, you know, maintenance in regards to helping people. So as part of self-care, I think it's really important to mention trying not to isolate yourself, you know, try to get involved in connectedness with other people and reaching out for help. So if you're in a space where you're in a lot of darkness and really struggling, think about ways that you can get connected and reaching out for help. And also, you know, just being aware of how you're feeling and where you are with what it is that your body's going through, or maybe your mind's going through, or your spirit. So when I look at self-care, I look at the balance of all of that, the body, the mind, and the spirit. And when we talk to the spirit part of it, with your clients, like what are some ways that you find are helpful to talk about that part of them that creates the balance that they need with whatever it is that they're going through?
Again, I think what I do tell them is that it's a case of really sitting with themselves and asking themselves what they want. We go through life trying to fulfill everybody else's needs and fulfill the expectations of others on us, whether that's in the work department, whether that's with our families, our children. And you've really got to ask yourself what is going to fulfill you. Trying to focus on, you know, it comes down to your belief system. Many people have different gods, different ways they express or worship things. And I feel that they just need to connect with themselves and connect with like-minded people. You know, if they don't fit in with someone, being in the wrong circle makes you feel like a fish out of water, essentially. And we all have these ideas of trying to fit in and be someone we're not. Be true to yourself, because being true to yourself, you find your answers. And for a long, long time, when I was down, I wasn't being true to myself. I was fulfilling expectations of other people upon myself. And it was only when I had the confidence to listen to my needs that I was able to start moving to places and people that helped me find me. You know, so again, when you speak about connectedness, I so agree with you. And that is food for the spirit. It's food for the soul. When you have people who feel the way you do, talk the way you do, have the same beliefs as you do, you know, we're a human race. We're not meant to be on our own. We're a community. And you need to reach out to that community. And we're all here to help each other. I find one thing that I've really picked up, it's the people who are always the helpers that never ask for help. they're the ones that always find they need to do everything on their own because, you know, everyone's too busy for them. Everyone has got bigger problems than them, you know, and that's not true. We're all given our lot in life and we're all eager to help each other. You know, we're not going to go out calling attention to it, but I know if you were to ask, when would anybody say no? You know, if they're true friends, they would never say no to you. And I know that doesn't specifically answer your question of, you know, how would you feed the spirit? I think it's about feeding your soul, you know, feeding yourself with your passion. And your passion, it's not about finding your passion outside of you. It's about finding your passion within you. What makes you burn on the inside? And it's feeding that passion, not trying to squash it. You know, if it doesn't feel normal to you, or if it doesn't feel normal to the rest of the world, so what? Do what suits you and you will feel yourself come alive.
Yeah, I love your thought process as far as going inward, because ironically, as the world has kind of come to the standstill and people have been forced to stay in their homes, they've also been forced to go inward. And for a lot of people, that doesn't feel safe because they're so busy running away from it, involving themselves in, you know, a work schedule that may be unrealistic, or maybe throwing themselves into something that is just providing a lot of distraction from turning inward, right? So I think it's really important for people to get comfortable in that space, for people to understand that that space within them doesn't have to be scary. It is actually a space that they can do a lot of healing work right now and do a lot of self-care and love towards that inner part of themselves that maybe they don't like so much. And a lot of times, you know, it's just acknowledging that part of you. It doesn't define you. It's just acknowledging that it is there, and just allowing yourself to heal that part of you is so important. And the ways that you do that should be healthy, like you had said, with the connectedness and getting together with like-minded people. I know for a lot of people that go through trauma, they feel like they are an outlier because they speak a different language than other people because of their experience. So especially for people, you know, that feel like that, it's important to get connectedness. And that would be true of any group that has an experience that's uncomfortable, whether it's cancer, chronic illness, anything like that. Like, you still want to have connectedness to other people who can identify with the hurt that you may experience or what it is you're experiencing. But I think it's also important to understand that you get to save yourself in this process.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you. And I honestly believe that when you can look on the inside and be quiet with yourself, that's where the discovery is. And as you said, we are all so busy running away from ourselves. You know, we're too scared to be on our own. So if, for example, you're standing in a queue and you've got nothing to do, people turn to their phones because they don't want to think. They don't want to feel. So they just numb themselves with social media and adverts and everybody else's drama that's going on in their lives. Whereas if you actually start to learn to really appreciate and love that time on your own, the possibilities are endless for yourself. You start learning so much about who you are and what you can do, and ideas that come up about ventures that you want to go on. I was so guilty of this. And now whenever I get a chance to be on my own, it's like, I absolutely love it because I'm just quiet with my mind. I try not to think of anything and I'm just waiting for those thoughts to come in about what I should do. And that's taken time. It's a work in progress. You know, it's not always like, yes, I'm perfectly quiet-minded, like a monk, and I can keep it calm. No, I can't keep it calm because I'm still thinking about the dinner and the kids' problems and whatever else it may be. But, you know, as much as you can, when you let your mind just be open. You just spoken to about what you need and what will fulfill you and make you feel complete. And then you can go after it and start doing something every day to achieve what you want, no matter how small.
Yeah. And I think this whole message is so, so necessary right now for the world as far as the self-care, just recognizing that the world is in a state that is uncomfortable. And a lot of times when we're uncomfortable, it's because there's change happening and we're growing into something. So I always look at this as an opportunity instead of something that is, you know, quote unquote bad, because it's how we put the lens on the vision of the world that we're looking at. We can either see it as the glass is half full, or we can see it, you know, as half empty. So it depends on how you look at it with your mindset. But I think it's important to recognize that we are in a world of change. We are in a world that's growing, and things are not always going to be as they are today, and things will get better. So if anybody in the audience is suffering from any mental health crisis, please contact your local, medical team that can help you. If you need help with suicide prevention, please reach out to them. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself. If you're in a space where you just need to learn some tools, this is why Retreat to Peace was created, was to really build a bridge around the world, to really get people in a space where they have some tools that are available to them to help them heal and to help them navigate this difficult time together. And it's just learning from everyday people like ourselves that have been through things and can talk the language. So Candace, I appreciate so much you being here with me today. And is there any other tools or any other ideas that you want to make mention of before we sign off in a few minutes?
Yeah, I think just to wrap it all up is, if you can, wake up half an hour earlier for yourself. It's not to do more chores. It's not to get the breakfast ready. It's purely time on your own. Make time to write in your journal. Write 5 things that you're grateful for, no matter how simple and ridiculous they may sound. If your mind is overflowing with worries, write them all down and then highlight one of the most important things that you want to prioritize to get done that day. That will relieve your stress. Move your body, no matter how you do it. Whether it's walking, whether it's sprinting, running, yoga, whatever it is, dancing in your living room. Do that for even just a few minutes. You will feel so empowered by the time you actually get your day going. Breathe. Whenever anything's overwhelming, just breathe and clarity will come to you. Make time for yourself. And most importantly is what I want to say is, make yourself a priority. When you make yourself a priority, everybody else will benefit from it. They will get so much more from you than you trying to constantly function on empty. So when you feel, and you will feel guilty the first few times doing this, or at the end of the day when you want to go and take your hot bubble bath or do something for yourself, don't. Because everyone that you love around you will benefit from you feeling good about yourself, feeling revived and taken care of. And know that it is vitally important to be able to accomplish anything in life. And the last thing I want to say is that, know that when things in life happen, as Catherine kindly said, it's either a lesson or it's a blessing. And never take it as anything else. Never see it as failure. Never see it as it's the end of the world. Take it as a lesson and just think to yourself, right, this has happened to me. It's awful. What can I learn from this? And that will totally change how you see that event. It will help you to have greater resilience. And 2 more things I want to say is, just never give up and love yourself. Love yourself, because I think there's, I'm not even sure what the correct statistics are, but there is a 1 in a trillion chance that you were born. So you're all here for a reason. We are all here for a reason. Maybe some of us just need to find out why. I'm only beginning to find out why in the last few months. And some people may never even attempt to find out why, but just know that you're meant to be here. So take care of yourself, love yourself, and be treated like you should be treated by treating yourself first. And that's it. And it was lovely to be here today. Thank you.
I couldn't have said that better if I wanted to. I have one last question for you, though. If I were to pick up your earth angel feather off of the ground and I had to read a message to the world, you know, from your feather, what would it say?
Off the top of my head, you are loved, you are important. Never stop trying, never quit, and know that you're a winner. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. So keep that in your mind and just know that you have a purpose and that the universe wanted you here and loves you, and go forth and just find yourself.
That is absolutely beautiful. And Candace, if the audience would like to connect with you after this podcast, how can they find you?
Just simply at my website, which is www.thriving-with-arthritis.com, or my email, which is again candace@thriving-with-arthritis.com.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being with us today. I know this was a powerful podcast segment, and I just feel so appreciative of you going into this space with me and having this conversation. So much gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
And that's all we have time for today. This is Catherine Daniels with Retreat to Peace, reminding you to live your authentic life with peace. And as always, Retreat to Peace. We'll see you next time.